buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
Ready Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com.
Today's guest is Bob Griswold of Ready Made Resources. Bob, welcome back to the show.
It's always good to be here. You know, Mark, I always get very good positive response back from people who listen to your program. You know, I know you have some really dynamic guests on, too. I always like listening to Michael Snyder and Jim Rawls you've had on. Those are very, very good interviews. So anybody who hasn't listened to them, I would strongly recommend you listen to those two guys, plus the others. But those guys I personally know, and they're very good people, and they have a good message to say.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And it's an honor to have you back on the show as well. Now, we've got lots of stuff, lots of stuff to talk about today. I think we should probably start with the public schools, because you know we've got this bathroom issue going now. But Darwinism has been taught in our schools for decades now, and it's teaching children an atheistic worldview that says there is no God. If parents are okay with that, should they really be all that concerned with boys using showers with their teenage daughters?
Well, no, and I'll say this because I've gotten into many debates with people who do not believe in God. At the end of the day, you know, I've used the guy who wrote The Kingdom of the Cults, Martin, I forget his last name, but he wrote a book, and he actually did an interview with somebody that was Jewish one time, and the Jewish guy was arguing the point that culture determines morality and that there is no ultimate, you know, higher transcendent truth. And so Walter just sat there and said, okay, it's 1933, and my name is Hank Himmler. Perhaps you heard of me. And he goes, you're obviously Jewish, so I've been called you into my office, and we're going to discuss your future. It doesn't look too bright, because tomorrow we're going to take you out and put you in a gas chamber and kill you. Now tell me why I can't do it. And immediately you put it into a historical context, and the Jewish guy really said, well, that's wrong. Wait a minute. Why is it wrong? It's not wrong. It was right. It was right for Adolf Hitler. It was right for the German people to do that. So unless you assign that God has made you and me, we really just become very, very insignificant in the reality of the universe and the billions of years that we're supposedly be here. We become very insignificant, and so you and me gone doesn't mean a thing. But if, on the other hand, you know, Mark, you are created in the image of God, if the Jewish person, the black person, the Hispanic person, the Chinese person were created in the image of God, then I have to look at you totally differently, because at that point you become a daughter or a son of Adam and Eve. And if I'm going to injure you, I better have pretty good reason for doing it, or misinstructing you or leading you astray or whatever I do. I better have pretty good reason for doing it, because one day I have to give an account to the God who made us all. And so I think it plays a dramatic role. And I personally, I'm going to state this, and I know some people might disagree with me. I personally don't know how a Christian can keep their children in public schools today. I just think it's you're putting them into the temple of Satan to be instructed. There's a black guy, I really love him. He's a preacher, Bodie Bauckham. Look him up, watch him on YouTube. Great dynamic guy. He says, "How do you expect to send your children to Caesar for 14 years and not make a Roman?" And I would totally agree with that.
Yeah, amen. That's absolutely right. And now I'm sure you've seen the footage from the Trump supporters who were attacked right in front of police in San Jose. The police basically sat back and let the protesters assault the Trump supporters with impunity. Four arrests were reported, but I saw much more footage than just the four. Of multiple attacks, and this is women being assaulted. One woman was egged. Several people were just beaten up by gangs and assaulted, and their police just lined up on the street watching all of this. Is this evidence of how violent our society's become, and how segregated we are between the left and the right?
Yes, let's go back to 1933 again. You know, if the world had responded dramatically to Hitler when he had gone into the Sudetenland and had really had a unified response to him and gone in there and collaborated him, World War II would have probably never happened. The gas chambers would probably never have happened. 57 million people, or a large percentage of them, would have lived out normal lives. We would not have had to send American men and women to fight overseas. So, you know, when you allow evil, when you tolerate evil, when you allow violence and tolerate violence, what you're doing is you're promoting it and egging it on so that the violence escalates, because it's like any other type of addictive behavior, and violence is an addictive behavior. You know, from the Roman Colosseums, we like watching MMA and people get beat up, the more blood the better. So when we see that level of violence and nothing is done to it, what do you think the next response is, Mark? More violence, greater violence. So the police, in their supposedly politically correct way of approaching, have done nothing but egg on more violence. So the next time the female will not be just egged, they'll rip her clothes off or something. It could, because the violence will escalate. It always does. You look at our society as a whole, in just the movies that you watch. Remember Mayberry-type movies, even like you watch Cheyenne and Gunsmoke and those old westerns. When people got shot, you never saw blood. You never saw them. They just fell down and pretended like they were dead. Now it's very, very graphic. You see body parts coming off, head skulls flying off people with blood splurting everywhere, because we need more and more violence to do it. So when the police do not respond to this, they're just, what they're doing is encouraging greater violence against people. And let's do not play with words here. This is an invasion. Those people are illegally in our country. They're flying a Mexican flag, so they're an invading army, beating up, injuring American citizens, and law enforcement, all the way from the executive branch, our president, all the way down to the local police officer, did nothing when American citizens are being attacked by an invading army. You know, that really feeds into the topic of what I want to talk to today. So, anyhow, that answer your question?
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. KD Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. These plates can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles up to 7.62 NATO. KDArmor.com. That's CATIArmor.com.
Get prepared before disaster strikes. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, tough strip bandages, and so much more. Kits are available in OD Green, Coyote, Black, and ACU. $99 includes shipping. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click the Store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
We just passed the third anniversary of the Prepper Recon podcast, and it couldn't have happened without you. To say thanks, I want to send you a free PDF copy of the 7-Step Survival Plan. It's a basic blueprint that will help you to prioritize your efforts and make sure you're not missing any important areas of prepping. To get your free copy, simply go to PrepperRecon.com and click the 7-Step Survival Plan free PDF banner that's directly under the menu bar at the top of the homepage. Thanks again for 3 great years of the Prepper Recon podcast. Memorial Day, we just had, supposed to be a celebration, we're supposed to, you know, honor those that have fallen in the defense of our country. In Chicago, 69 people were shot over Memorial Day weekend. And now that's not a major terrorist attack, that's just a collection of individual incidents. How do people avoid becoming victims in these types of situations?
Well, first of all, you know, you and I are both Christian people. You know, we have to pray, first of all, for the protection of our families. There's great power in invoking the protection of the Lord on our lives, and committing my wife, my children, my family, my extended family into the hands of God for their protection. The Bible does say He will give His angels charge over you. That doesn't mean bad things will never happen, but it does mean that we are afforded a certain level of protection as God's people. And first and foremost, we need to pray. Second and most is just be aware of the environment. You know, I want to read a scripture, and because what we wanted to talk about today is normalcy bias, people's normal reaction to situations that are out of the normal. They do not like to change that quick. It's a very slow process for most people when they see something going on to make the mental shift to say, I need to react. believe it or not, it's just people do not do that very well. We tend to sit there and think, well, this isn't really happening. It's not going on. Maybe I should ask somebody what's going on. But here's what Jesus said. And Jesus addressed normalcy bias. Believe it or not, he did. He addressed it in three of the Gospels. And he said this concerning the abomination of desolation in Matthew 24 and I think Luke 21 and Mark 14. He said, let the one who is on the rooftop not go down into his house. Let the one who is in the field not return to take his cloak. For those who, and those who are nursing, woe to them in those days. He said, basically, when you see it happen, react immediately. What he's saying, don't sit there and dilly-dally around like Lot's wife or someone else that just, you know, starts getting into this thing. Well, it's not going to really happen. I don't want to look foolish. And that's a big one right there. Don't want to look foolish, like, you know, people can make fun of me if I react to this. And you know, it's like there was a plane crash. A lot of us older people remember it in the 70s. That were two jumbo jets. I think it was Tenerife Island. They crashed on the runway, and the survivors, which were few, actually mentioned the people that were still sitting in their seatbelts with their seatbelt in their seats with their seatbelt on, and they were just sitting as the fire was approaching because nobody told them to get out of the seat and run. And some of the witnesses said they ran by perfectly normal people, healthy. They just ran by them and jumped out of the plane while others were burned alive. And I think that's what Jesus is addressing. Today it's so easy because we have seen this escalation of perversion, violence, whatever you want to call it, in so many aspects. It could be numbing. And so, Mark, if we could, first of all, I just want to read just a little thing I got off Wikipedia. And this is what it says about normalcy bias. A normalcy bias is a mental state of people when facing a disaster. It causes people to underestimate both the possibility of a disaster and its possible effects. This may result in situations where people fail to adequately prepare. And then it goes on to say, and on a larger scale, the failure of governments to include the population in their disaster preparedness. I thought that was particularly interesting, that the failure of the government to prepare for its populace. It doesn't say the failure of the government to prepare for themselves. They know what's coming. They're building their bunkers. They're buying all this ammunition. They're buying all this food. They're buying all the things they need to do it. That's what these exercises like Jade Helm and these other exercises are, because they know that we are going to be experiencing some very, very tumultuous times in the United States where we see large populations against other large groups of population. And so they're preparing for it. But the average American, you know what's important? Who won the football game last night? Who won the boxing match? Who's on basketball tonight? What reality program is on? How do we insult our intelligence more by watching the absolute garbage they put on TV? That's what concerns a vast majority of Americans today. And so while they're caught up in this, they are totally oblivious to most of the things we talk about. You know, before the program, Mark, I mentioned just about a dozen or so issues I just wanted to address lightly and then what we can do about it. You know, in the World Trade Center, 75% of the people in that building just sat there waiting for people to tell them to leave. 15% of the people panicked, and they're the ones that are particularly dangerous because they can incite panic in everybody else. Only 10% of the people said, I'm going to get up, get out of this building. Nobody's told me to do it, but I'm going to do it anyhow. And I think in the days in which we live and we see so many wickednesses, I guess that's a word, swirling around us, the majority of America is asleep. I mean, did anybody care that we had an invading army beating up Americans and nobody did anything? Does anybody care? Do you see an upswelling of outcry of anger over it? Basically, no. Most America just wants to know what's on the football game next week or the baseball, basketball, whatever game, or, again, what new perversion they put on TV. That's where they gravitate. You know, somebody had told me one time, Mark, you know, when Abraham and Lot, their wealth grew enormously, and Abraham came to Lot and said, you know, the land can no longer support us. We need to split. Abraham said, if you go that way, I'll go this way, basically. And so Lot said, I'm going to go down to the cities of the plains, Sodom and Gomorrah and those cities. And Abraham said, what are you doing? Don't go down there. Those are wicked people. But, you know, I heard a preacher one time tell me, you know why he chose Sodom and Gomorrah? And I said, no, why? What do you think? He said, well, years before, if you remember the scripture, Lot had been kidnapped and drug into Sodom and Gomorrah, and he saw all those things that were down there, all the pleasures of the flesh down there. And, you know, that's what he had in his mind. And so he probably ran those things over in his mind, those little things he saw over and over and over again in his mind. And so when it came time to making a decision, the decision was easy. He'd already made it. You know, you think about what Americans fill their minds with today. Basically, violence. We watch a lot of violence on TV. We watch a lot of bathroom humor, disgusting, you know, either full pornography or pornographic type imagery on TV. And so when people need to make decisions in a situation where you might – the rule of law might break down, and I think we talked about that one time, force and counterforce. You know, if you have a situation like Katrina, force is the people that are doing the looting, burning, raping, and pillaging. Counterforce would be the you know, the police, fire, ambulances, all those people that would come in and beat the other people back into the box. You know, in Katrina, the counterforce lost control to force, and that's why they went and hired Blackwater to go in there and you know, basically shoot people to get civility back. You know, so. You know, in a city, if you have, say, 500 bad people and 25,000 good people, have 1,000 some type of first responders or law enforcement or whatever, the fewer people are not going to win to counterforce. But when you have a breakdown in civility and you have 5,000 people turn evil and wicked and start acting out all that depravity they filled their minds with, counterforce is going to quickly break down. And even half the counterforce that we have in our society today is multi-jurisdictional counterforce. So they're just not going to be in charge of your city. They're going to be in charge of your county, or maybe even larger on your state. So they're going to be, you know, you're going to have a greatly diminished amount of counterforce available to people that are doing this. And again, when you see what's going on down there, and you know, these people that brutalize people gain strength more and more and more, counterforce is going to start losing out to them, even if they do choose to respond. And then it's going to be on your own. And this is where normalcy bias comes in, and people think and sit there and go, well, if I start prepping, people are going to think I'm weird. They're going to do this, they're going to do that. But even the words of Jesus warned against normalcy bias. So, you know, you look at it today. I'm going to go through these issues just quickly, and we can talk about them, each one. If you have anything you want to comment, I appreciate it. But first one is a police state. You know, I have – my two best friends are in law enforcement, and there's a legitimate function for law enforcement. You know, it's necessary. There are bad people. But, you know, you have to look at it. Do these people that are allowing those other people to come in and brutalize innocent people, do the people that are letting Gitmo prisoners out, that are letting hardcore prisoners out of jail – that are allowing crime, you know, the recidivism rate. We see people that have just been arrested and let go to perpetrate more crime on the American people. Are they doing this on purpose so that they can justify a greater and greater police state? Personally, I think they are. And that's the first thing. We see this police state developing around us, tanks, night vision, helicopters, machine guns being given to local law enforcement. And yet we don't see the danger in it. Again, what's on TV? Who's playing who on football? That's what we think about. You know, the second issue, and these are all happen concurrently, Mark, all of them together. So it's just not one thing. It's a perfect storm of these things that are coming. Cash made illegal. You know, you see this move more and more. People are moving towards making cash illegal, that you can't use cash. You can only use so much cash. They don't want it. And what that does, it's the perfect Orwellian control mechanism. You know, we allow all this drug trafficking and all this underground currency because then we can claim we need stronger currency controls. And so people, you know, when cash is legal or greatly diminished in your ability, the government will have absolute control over your life, because not only will they know what you've bought, they'll know how much of it you've bought, and on top of that, they can control what you buy, because they can keep you in a database, and they show you've bought your 10 pounds a week for the month. You can't buy anymore, no matter how much cash you give. Then you're forced onto the black market, where you'll be paying exorbitant amounts of money to get what you need. Probably won't even have that kind of money, so you'll be trading things that you do have. And I'll let other people's minds go there, because you look how civilizations, when they break down, what people trade, and it's not very pretty. So, you know, again, we see that. We see the police state, the cash being made illegal, the rumors of detention camps. Anybody who thinks the United States does not have a plan to deal with people in mass insurrection and house them somewhere really is not very historically wise. Governments have to plan for these things. And so the first people they want to deal with are those who have the potential to create problem. And so depending on what government's in power, you would ask the Obama administration, who are the problems? They would say the Christians, the homeschoolers, the people who are against abortion, you know, yada, yada, yada. They would say that we're the issue. They blame us. I mean, at the Donald Trump rally, people exercising peaceful political opinions are beaten up, and yet those people are blamed. The people that are just exercising their political opinion, they're not clubbing people over with bats and beating them up and throwing eggs at them. They're just sitting there basically going to a Trump rally and saying, we believe this guy's the best guy. That's their right under the American system of government. And yet, who gets blamed? They do. So, you know, you can see who's going to be demonized and who the government's coming after. So here we have three issues that are happening concurrently. Financial collapse. I mean, my gosh, Drudge Report today, 102 million Americans out of work. You know, we see just absolutely astronomical amounts of debt that we're swirling in. Not only the $19 trillion they admit we have, but the hundreds of trillions of dollars in unfunded liabilities. We are so far in debt, we can never be paid off. You know, we see people like George Soros buying up gold, Chinese buying up gold, and India buying up gold. They know what's going on. Governments know what's going on. And yet we think this thing with the dollar and as can go on forever. You see the dollar losing its power worldwide. You see people getting away from the dollar monopoly, trying to set up their own currency exchanges outside the dollar. And yet we just think we can keep on spending and spending and spending. And I don't know if you saw the video of the there was, a big EBT glitch the other day where people's EBT cards didn't work. And this one lady just went berserk in a store because they wouldn't take her EBT card. She just started trashing the store.
Yeah,
that's just one person.
And you can go on YouTube and just and search EBT EBT lady goes crazy. And there's hundreds of videos that come up. There's one specific one that's the new one, but there's lots of stuff that will come up for that when you search that for that particular video. So it's not an isolated incident. It's common.
Two or three people they were interviewing, and one of the guys said, "We're going to Rodney King it if we don't get our money," meaning they're going to burn the city down. So, but the whole time. You know, normal America, middle-class America is sitting there mind-numb to all this. They watch it on TV, and because it's been so offensive, like the bathroom issue, Saul Alinsky, they overwhelm the system. They're overwhelming your mind on purpose. It's done as a shock and awe on American people so they don't know how to respond. And this is what I tell people, get alone with God. Turn the TV off. Get rid of it. We got rid of it. We won't even have it in our house. Just get rid of the thing. You save a couple hundred dollars a month for most people on cable that you could use for prep supplies or even give to, you know, the poor or something that where they do need it. Get rid of the TV because it is the absolutely Orwellian, hypnotic thing in your house that just drains your mental power. Get rid of it and start asking and praying, God, what do we do with what's going on? How do we respond? God might tell some people to be footloose and fancy free and just be free to preach the gospel. He might tell other people to store great wealth and food and whatever so that they can feed those people. This is where hearing the voice of God is so important in these things. But again, so we see this massive financial collapse on the horizon. And again, we see political corruption really like we've never seen it. Open. They're just open about it anymore. They don't care. Hillary Clinton is so open. She doesn't even care. She knows nothing will be done to her. She has compromised the integrity of the United States in this email thing, but it goes way back to she was a young woman. Just absolute scandal after scandal after scandal. A Secret Service agent is getting ready to release a book on the apps. She's absolutely a detestable human being, and she's running for president, and nobody will touch her. So it's political corruption we have that's unparalleled in our nation's history. That was issue five, political instability. Here we have two unideal candidates running, and we just see the instability both of them are bringing. One side absolutely hates the other side to a level that we're willing to implement lethal violence against each other. So we have the republic that we were given, that Franklin warned us if we could keep, it doesn't look like we are, and this instability that's going on and swirling around us, just a plethora of laws, laws for every aspect of our life that you don't even know what the laws are. They just have to keep putting them out one on top of another, and yet none of the laws are obeyed. Congress doesn't obey their own laws. They're exempt from their own laws. So this political instability, point six, we see a racial instability. You know, Barack Obama promised us race healing, and yet he's delivered just the opposite, because that's the typical communist way to implement totalitarian rule. He has, you know, poured gasoline on race relations in America. You know, for the Christian person, I realize that the black man, the Oriental man, the Indian, all of them in Christ are my brothers. And that's the only thing that will heal this right now. And yet, the churches in America, that's the other thing, the religious corruption. You know, Hillsong Church, Hillsong, millions of people go there or watch it. You know, they had a cowboy leading worship on their stage the other day in his underwear. I don't know if you saw that, Mark. Did you see that?
Yeah, and that's
and he was in his underwear.
The Hillsong New York, and it was it was a guy doing an impersonation of the real naked cowboy who claims to be, and this just gets getting more and more bizarre the deeper you dig into that story, but he was the real naked cowboy that walks around in the streets of New York in his underwear playing a guitar with a cowboy hat and cowboy boots. It claims to be an ordained minister and says that, you know, it was absolutely not right that somebody impersonating him would go into a church and perform on a stage in the same outfit that he wears on the streets of New York. So it's so insane. We have just – and now David Wilkerson in his 1973 prophecy said that, you know, the apostasy would just be phenomenal. In the coming times,
well,
which
you just
could have never imagined the types of insanity that are going on in churches right now.
No, I mean, they had Chewbacca on stage. They had all these characters out of movies on stage, all jumping and doing gymnastics on stage, like they were possessed. They were having some kind of demonic fit, and you know, and somehow that's worship. And everybody in the audience is under this narcotic of spiritual deception, you know, just singing and doing all this stuff like the prophets of Baal. You know, in the Hillsong in London, I guess they had a service after Austin Powers of the movies, which was, you know, like he was a total deviant. And they were playing all the music and had all that stuff. So it's like, so we have a religious corruption. You're not going to hear repentance from America's pulpits. You're not going to hear it. You're not going to hear the word to say repent. Get away from the sin that does so easily beset you and let you run with patience. Get rid of the TV set. Get rid of the filth out of your life. You know, put yourself back into the Word of God. Let that be your instruction. You know, we have Joel Osteen and all these other guys that are just absolutely just preaching spiritual vomit with sugar on it. And they're calling it a spiritual candy bar. And it's not. It's absolutely detestable, and it's going to lead people straight to hell, and it's going to cause the collapse of our society, because really it's from the pulpit of America that America has always gained its moral guidance. And yet today, you know, we see churches totally caving into every deviant behavior mankind wants, because we got to keep the, you know, the money in the collection coming. It's shameful. So that's just another one, the moral collapse. You know, porn, violence, just religious deception. It's everywhere. We see a monstrous attack on the Second Amendment. They want to make sure that we are unarmed. They want to be able to herd us into the gas chambers without any resistance whatsoever. So it is good to see that Americans are responding. I just saw in Drudge, it's the 13th straight month of record gun sales. So there is some hope there. Americans realize that some things are going on, and they are prepping in that way. Not enough, you know, because guns alone aren't going to be enough to save you. You're going to have food, water. You're going to have the ability to communicate. You're going to have the ability to network together to protect each other. And so, you know, normalcy bias keeps us from those things. Even in the light of all this that we see, the restriction on free speech and worship, you see people that say, I have a moral. God has said in his word that marriage is between a man and a woman, and I cannot morally, you know, service something that says I want to, you know, where I have to participate in a ceremony where two men or two women or three men and six whatever's want to get married. I can't participate in it because of my belief in God. And yet they are fined and put out of business. It's shameful. Free speech, that, you know, safe zones, all this microaggression stuff we see, and we don't know where people fail to see where this is leading. And on top of it, Mark, we are the most medicated society in the history of the world. Just an incredible millions and millions, hundreds of millions of doses of Oxycontin are used in America every year. Painkillers, Oxycontin, oxymorphine, oxydrugs, Valium. We consume most of the world's Valium, which is an antidepressant. We're not a happy society. America used to be in the top 10 places in the world to live, and now we've fallen below 30. So it's you know, we see this happening. You know, they say that entertainment, where entertainment thrives, civilization declines. You think of what, we are just the most entertained society. We can no longer be alone with ourselves. America needs 24/7 something to make us watch and stimulate us somehow. You know, my team, your team, whatever it is, just something to stimulate. We've become entertainment addicted. And so, you know, again, we look at all this. Every American knows it. You know it. I know it. John Q. Public knows it. And yet, you and I do something, and a vast majority of the people listening to this program do something. But overall, this is why Jesus warned in Matthew 24, because the normalcy bias is to sit there and say, well, it won't happen. It hasn't happened. Not going to be everything okay. There'll be a football game on next week. The basketball players will be there next week. You know, my reality program will be there. It's always been. You know, Walmart will always have tons of groceries. You know, the water will always work. And when we see people, you know, there's a website, it's called Norse Corp, NORSECORP.org. I think it's .org, it might be .com. And it actually shows active hacking globally. It shows the globe and active pinging back and forth of people hacking our system, probing it. Any one day, they'll tell us that the power could be turned off, the water could be turned off, the EBT cards will be turned off. Direct payments to individuals, Social Security could be turned off just by cyber hacking. And yet, in light of all that, knowing that if the electricity goes down, you have the average American has a day or two worth of food in the house, and history shows very, very well what people will do when they get hungry. They know this. It's in the news. It's all over the news. Over and over and over again, we see cyber hacking, EMP, you know, potential to shut the grid down. And yet, it didn't happen yesterday, so who's playing football tomorrow? We do not take it seriously like this will happen. And over this whole thing, there's a penumbra, Mark, of God's judgment, Deuteronomy 28. You know, I call it the mathematics of God. I'm not a theologian, so that might not be the best term, but that's what I call it. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. You know, nations plus sin equals judgment. It is mathematically certain. And if you're a Christian and you think that somehow because we're Americans, we're going to escape it, you know, you've bought too much of the entertainment gospel. We are going to experience a horrible, horrible judgment in this country. And I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news for it, but it's time that you get, first of all, like we've talked about on all the programs we've done, get your heart right with God. If you have sin in your life, get rid of it. Abandon it and turn to the Lord. Get back in His Word. Seek God for your family. And then pray earnestly what the Lord would have you to do, because it says that sudden destruction will come. This is going to build and build and build and build, and all of a sudden, bam, it'll get too, it can't bear the weight anymore. And when it happens, just like the World Trade Center, the fire burned and burned and burned and burned, and then it got to the point that just the whole building couldn't support that anymore, and boom, it all came down. It happened, you know, quickly. In 11 seconds, the whole building fell down. So, you know, when you see these things now, God has given us an incredible opportunity as people, not only to warn others to repent and get their hearts right with God, but then to prepare. If we ignore that, if we ignore it, then we're going to ignore it to our own demise. And not only our demise, we're going to ignore it to our family's demise and possibly those that God's put into our life's demise. Did you see yesterday, I was reading it, the Pope actually has now said, this is what the website said, that having a personal and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ is dangerous?
Yeah, this Pope
I couldn't believe it.
This Pope has said some really, really radical things. From the time he came in, he said things like, you don't have to believe in God to go to heaven. It's just
the entire world has just completely been turned on its head, and we're in a complete cultural meltdown, complete moral meltdown, and the bizarre behavior of our fellow human beings is just off the charts, and the bizarre trains of thoughts by our politicians and everything else. It's just we must be in the end days. That's the end of the first half of my interview with Bob Griswold of Ready Made Resources. Tune in next week for the rest of the show.
In Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, Daniel Walker begins having prophetic dreams about the judgment coming upon America for rejecting God's word. Through one of his dreams, Daniel learns of an imminent threat of an electromagnetic pulse attack, sending the country into a technological dark age. If they want to live, Daniel and his friends must focus on faith, wits, and preparation to be ready before the lights go out. Buy your copy of Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.